a rectangle, and rows of film sprocket holes float through a shaft of blue light. They come to rest on a black background. New Line Cinema, a Time Warner company. Black and white videos illustrate the Cold War bomb threat of the 1960s.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and light up.
You gotta accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and light shine to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. You gotta spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum and have faith.
Amen.
A pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene.
To illustrate his life's remarkable. Jonah in the way.
Noah in the ark.
Now what do they do?
What do they do just when everything looks so dark?
Man, they said you gotta accentuate the positive, be eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Blast from the Past, Los Angeles, 1962, a cocktail party.
Calvin, where do you get these?
You got a million.
They're so funny. Just remember, don't mention the communists.
Calvin's a great guy, but he's a little, you know.
Nutty? What's his wife like?
You know, housewife.
Likes to cook. Pregnant.
Normal then. I wouldn't go that far.
Helen! Oh, hi, Daddy! Just look at you!
Any day now.
Say hi to my sister Ruth, her husband.
Tell me, have you heard this one? A duck walks into a drugstore. He says, I'd like some lip gloss. The clerk says, certainly, sir. Will this be cash or check? The duck says, put it on my bill.
Brother. He was a golden boy professor at Caltech.
But then he started inventing things. He suddenly became very rich. And that was it. He quit teaching.
How's that? Just what the doctor ordered.
Calvin snaps his fingers and points.
Calvin spends all of his time out there tinkering around in the workshop. If you ask me, it's all very strange.
Same is true of batteries. I could take a simple yacht battery and rig it to last a decade easily.
Say, Helen, what does Calvin think about this trouble down in Cuba?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, please don't bring that up.
A man in a suit and hat approaches the house, which is surrounded by a white picket fence. Inside, Calvin is standing behind the bar, talking to a woman smoking a cigarette.
I'd say my baseball card collection is as complete as anyone I've ever seen.
Calvin? Hey, Calvin! Kennedy is going toe-to-toe with Khrushchev on television right now.
What? Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
They watch TV.
On the island of Cuba. Unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island.
A fighter jet is nearing the lights of a large city when suddenly sparks begin to shoot out of the jet's exhaust. The airplane shudders and the pilot looks down at his gauges.
Tower, Wolf 1, I got 5 miles to the overhead.
Wolf 1 Tower, report the numbers. You're number one for the overhead.
A red light begins to flash on the instrument panel.
Tower, this is Wolf 1, I got a problem here.
Say your problem, Wolf 1. Are you declaring an emergency?
Stand by, 1.
At the party.
Additional sites appear to be designed for intermediate range ballistic missiles, and thus capable of striking most of the major cities in the Western Hemisphere.
Calvin looks at his guests.
Folks, given this extraordinary turn of events, I think it's prudent we cut this evening short. I'm sure this Cuban thing will resolve itself, but in the meantime, I suggest we take a prayerful watch-and-wait stance. Okay, folks, let's go.
Carrying a pot, Helen and Calvin go outside.
Well, I'm certainly not going to let this pot roast go to waste. Oh, Calvin, could you put that seat cushion back in the lawn chair, Eddie? Shouldn't we at least turn off the phonograph?
It shuts off automatically.
Oh, did you make it to do that?
We all do.
Oh, I never know anymore.
Calvin sees the jet in the sky.
I bet that's a fighter jet. On his way to Key West.
He salutes.
Good luck, amigo.
In his workshop.
I repeat, an emergency has been declared.
You hear that?
I'll come back for the radio.
He moves a workbench.
Oh, Calvin, I wish you would have at least let me do the dishes. It's not going to be that easy to get all this dried-on food off my nice plate.
I just hope those plates are not radioactive by tomorrow.
Well, cheese is particularly troublesome.
I've got secondaries of an engine fire. I'm going to need to find a clear area to eject.
Roger, Rift 1. Did you make it to the ocean?
The pilot sees the ocean in the distance.
Roger that, Tower.
Still over land, the pilot ejects. The plane's joystick leans to the right, and the plane begins to fly erratically out of control.
So how long will we have to stay down here?
For this thing to blow over could take days.
Days? Honey, what if I go into labor? That could happen any time now.
I've read up on it. If I have to, I'll deliver the baby myself.
They climb down a ladder from a hatch underneath the workbench in Calvin's workshop. The jet stalls. Calvin opens a heavy door and turns on the lights as Helen carries in the pot roast. With engines off, the jet tumbles down toward the sparkling web of city lights.
Home sweet home.
To you, maybe.
The plane crashes into their house. Flames shoot down the ladder. Helen falls down as Calvin closes the heavy door. She holds the pot roast with pink oven mitts. Calvin checks some gauges.
Ow! It's happened! Ah! Look at that heat! All my surface indicators! Not that! Oh, Lord! It's happened!
He flips a switch and steel locks engage on the heavy door. They look around.
What was that noise?
The locks.
The locks.
Us from trying to leave. There's a radiation half-life after an atomic blast. Lasts 35 years.
35 years?
Then, after that, it's safe. Go up.
The next day, men inspect the charred wreckage in their backyard.
According to Caltech, this Weber guy was a bona fide genius, but a borderline nutcase.
Well, he and Mrs. Nutcase must have been out here when the plane hit.
Unless we get a postcard or something, that'd be my guess.
What about relatives?
They're all back east.
Neighbors over there said the guy spent day and night out here. She'd bring him sandwiches and hot Dr. Pepper.
His partner looks at him.
You drank it hot?
Yeah.
Good God.
Helen folds her arms across her chest.
Chilly? Shouldn't be. Temperature's a nice 73 degrees.
Oh, maybe I've just got the creeps.
Could you? This is just like home.
No. No, Calvin. This is different. Believe me.
Would you like a tranquilizer?
You've got tranquilizer?
I told you I've had everything.
She opens her mouth and puts her hand on her pregnant stomach.
What?
Oh.
Oh, huh?
He helps her sit.
Oh.
All right.
He bumps her legs up and down.
Stuff.
He drops her legs on the floor and runs off. Several days later,
oh, it's a good day. Sing in the sun.
Calvin checks gauges and jots things down on the clipboard.
Yes, it's a good day. How could anything go?
He turns a light on and off.
From morning till night. Yes, it's a good day. Shine in your shoes and it's a good day.
He stirs water in a tank containing tiny fish.
Everything is good.
He puts down the clipboard and goes to a bedroom where Helen is holding a baby.
Is there a problem?
No, Calvin, baby's crying.
I've noticed.
What should we call him? Well, I was thinking in light of the situation, we should call him Adam. That's not sacrilegious, is it?
No, I think it's just right.
Several weeks later.
See, I flick this switch, and the image is projected onto a mirror, and the picture comes out here. And it's perfect.
Martini in hand, he joins her and Adam on the couch as a moon rises over a city. J. Jackie Gleason's name is backwards.
Well, almost perfect.
It's been a long, long, long time.
1 year later, Helen pushes a shopping cart through their underground store with Adam in the baby seat. Calvin pulls a fish out of the tank with a net.
It's been a long,
there you are.
Later,
it's all over for you.
He's between a concrete wall and their underground home.
You want to see me?
Yes. You ready, Adam? Watch this.
She puts Adam down.
He can stand up all by himself. Show Daddy. All by himself.
Oh, that's my guy.
Stand up.
My son.
He picks him up.
Adam, to the moon.
A rat runs through the dirt above them, and above that, a bulldozer scrapes the sod off the ground. Men walk by with a sign that reads, Future Site of Mom's Malt Shop, opening summer 65. Men with shovels look at the ground.
I never seen a septic tank that looked like that.
Well, don't fool with it. If it is a septic tank, I sure as hell don't want to open it. We'll just lay the foundation over it.
A bulldozer thumps its shovel on the ground, and Calvin looks up.
Two girls for every
summer 1965. A smiling woman plops cherries on top of two malts and walks past a young soda jerk.
I'm going to need two more banana splits and a cherry Coke.
You bet, Mom. Coming up. Oh, by the way, Mom, thanks for the job. $1.15 an hour.
He grins at two girls. Down below, the Webbers are still watching the honeymooners.
Our husband is crazy.
Helen stares at Calvin, who's enjoying himself. Helen's bored, but smiles when he looks at her. Autumn 1971.
Hook off the jab. Hook off the jab. That's right. Bob weave.
Adam's dad teaches him to box.
See the marketplace and all.
And his mom teaches him to dance. Helen spins under Adam's arm. And Calvin dances over and taps Adam's shoulder.
May I cut in?
Just
you certainly may.
When it rains.
Adam sits on some steps and watches his parents dance.
You belong to me.
He smiles as Calvin dips Helen. A few years later, Calvin sits at a teacher's desk in their underground classroom.
These are stock certificates. Your mom and I bought them for you. Of course, they're worthless now, but at one time they were quite valuable.
They're pretty. Could I have them?
Sure. Now, let's move on to our French exam.
Latin exam, Dad. It's Tuesday.
Gosh, it is Tuesday. Time flies, doesn't it?
Tempus fugit.
Que le bon temps roule.
Glad the Alstom links.
Sorgen Sie bitte dafür, dass die Gepäck sorgfältig behandelt werden.
Haben Sie etwas? Nettest du leider?
You have a wonderful sense of humor, son, I must say.
Later, Calvin gives Adam a cigar box full of baseball cards.
This is wonderful.
It's my baseball card collection. It's yours now.
Adam looks up at Calvin.
What's baseball?
It's a game, son. I explain it pretty easily. See, there's a pitcher.
Oh, like a painting.
No, a picture.
Like one of Mom's?
No, there's a man who throws the ball to a man who has a bat.
Oh, the nocturnal flying mammal.
No.
Above them, other businesses have sprung up around what used to be the malt shop. Fall 1991. Mom is mixing drinks where she used to fix malts. She walks past the soda jerk who's smoking and drinking at the bar.
I'm selling this place. I want out of this hellhole.
Could I,
buy it from me?
Yeah, that's it.
I'll give it to you. No money down.
Cool.
Summer 1995.
It's one more time. The runner on second goes to third. He's out there. Why? Because he's forced out. He must.
Calvin!
Coming.
Helen's decorating a cake.
Yes, dear.
You get the presents, I'll get the lights.
A few minutes later.
Happy birthday to you.
and many more.
Adam, now fully grown, looks at his cake.
Thanks, Mom. Thank you, Dad.
Blow out the candles.
Make a wish.
He closes his eyes and blows out the candles. Helen puts the cake in the middle of the table. She gives Adam a present wrapped in a blanket. He opens it.
Oh, boy, a jacket.
Your mom made that all by herself.
No kidding.
No kidding. Who else would have done it?
I made these.
Calvin gives him a present, and he unwraps it.
Holy cow. What the heck are these?
It's your roller skates. Yep. I redesigned them.
These are really swell. I mean swell.
Well, what did you wish for, son?
If he tells him, it'll come true.
Oh, that's a bunch of baloney. My family never believed that.
Well, we did. My family.
I wish that I could meet a girl.
Wow. Nice one.
Yes, ma'am.
She serves the cake.
Doesn't glow in the dark, I hope.
Calvin Weber, what a thing to say.
Well, we'll be going up in 2 years. We'll know then. I'm very hopeful.
Me too.
You know, when we do go up, I'm going to miss this place.
Helen pauses with her fork in hand and looks at Calvin.
How about you, hon?
She looks at Adam.
Would you please excuse me? Don't get up.
She goes in the kitchen and closes the folding door. The men sit back down. Adam shrugs, and Helen goes out another door and closes it behind her. Present day, the Weber's living room is dark and empty. A starburst clock on a sandstone brick wall reads 6:15. The kitchen is empty. Adam is asleep. In the storeroom, water drips into a barrel. A red light goes off and a green light turns on. A fluorescent light flickers on above three gauges that read day, month, and year. The steel locks release the heavy doors. Helen's eyes fly open. Calvin wakes up, and so does Adam. Helen and Calvin run to the door and stare at it. Calvin turns a wheel in the middle of the vault-like door set in a concrete wall. Adam approaches. Calvin releases the locks, and Adam's eyes widen as Calvin swings the door open.
Long time.
Calvin steps into an elevator and turns on a light.
Well, it's dirty.
He jumps up and down.
Seems to be okay.
Helen does a little dance.
Do we just go on up?
No, son. Now is the time. We must be the most cautious. We wait for night.
Oh, crap.
She covers her mouth.
Helen Thomas Weber. Partner French, son.
Crap is French?
Well, it's archaic French. It's 16th century colloquialism, meaning roughly good.
Your father's right.
Well...
It's dark and rainy outside the rundown bar above the Weber home. Inside, the building shakes and a disheveled man holding a drink turns to the former soda jerk behind the bar.
Earthquake! Another earthquake! Let her come! Let her come! Let's get this over with!
Something pushes up the floor and the soda jerk and his customers stare at the light coming out of the opening.
Oh, God! God, save me. Oh, for I have seen the light.
A man in a yellow rubber suit and gas mask has risen up out of the opening carrying a flashlight. He holds up his hand.
I come.
He pats his chest.
In peace.
The soda jerk falls over. Calvin steps off the elevator and shines his flashlight behind the bar. The soda jerk opens his eyes and stares into the light.
Leave my elevator alone.
He nods. Calvin goes outside and looks around. His gas mask is off.
For those who really don't understand why we going insane, just acting crazy.
As he gets out of the top part of the rubber jumpsuit, a woman in a short skirt approaches him.
Got a light, honey?
A light? Yes, I do. A light.
He lights her cigarette.
Good, thank you.
So, you survived the blast.
The blast? Honey, I've survived a host of things. Like the song says, a country boy can't survive.
Did you say you were a country boy?
Cute little old man. If you want a boy, I can be a boy. And if you want a girl, I can be a girl. Hell, I can be whatever you want me to be.
Really?
Uh-huh. And it's all yours at a remarkably low price of $200. And if you act now, I may even throw in some free lawn furniture. Now, how about that?
No. Actually, I have to go.
Down.
As he walks away, a man in a low-riding car points a gun at Calvin and pulls the trigger. It's just a water pistol, but Calvin scurries into a store to escape. It's a porn shop.
No!
Later, back underground.
I'm gonna give it to you straight. There's no point beating around the bush. There were survivors. Apparently, the fallout has created a subspecies. Mutants.
Mutants.
Not a pretty sight. Some eat out of garbage cans. Others cover your ears, son, and hum. I mean that literally. I mean it right now. Others are multisexual. It seems they can be both masculine, feminine, simultaneously.
No.
Yes.
I don't believe it.
Believe it. He tried to sell me his body, Helen. They offer lawn furniture as a come-on.
She starts scrubbing the sink. He talks to Adam.
They have done a lot of rebuilding, though society, at least as we know it, has totally collapsed. People throw up in the streets. Others point guns. There's something terribly wrong with the automobiles, and I can't tell you the rest. I just can't. Maybe someday.
So what do we do now?
We stay down here.
We do?
Yes. We'll make do. We have clothes. We have running water from a well. I am convinced these mutants will kill each other
all. No, Calvin! We won't make do. Not me. Not Adam. We're going up. I don't care how horrible it is. We deserve it.
I am the head of this household.
I want him to at least see the sky.
And we will.
The ocean. A mountain.
Do as I say.
Calvin stands up.
Me.
He clutches his chest. She grabs his coffee as he falls onto the table.
Oh. Dad?
Oh. Oh, Adam. Oh, my goodness. Get into the bedroom.
Later.
He seems to be doing all right now. I don't know if he's had a heart attack or just a horrifying experience, but we need supplies, and I've got to stay with him.
I'll go up.
I'm afraid you must.
I'll be all right.
My brave boy.
He gives her a thumbs up.
Just act normal, and if anyone asks, simply say, I'm from out of town. I'm here on business.
Here on business.
Write that down.
She gives him a pad of paper.
I'm going to give you a shopping list and some money. We'll need just enough things to get us through the next year or two, and you'll find most of these items at what used to be called a grocery store or a hardware store. Write that down. I don't know how far you'll have to travel to find supplies, son, but if you can't get home by nightfall, I want you to look for something called a Holiday Inn. It's a hotel. Write that down. There might still be one left standing.
She gets money from the fish tank.
Let's get you packed.
Right.
She holds up the money.
Just hope this is still good up there.
See, Mom?
Yes, dear.
I was wondering, you know, while I was up there and all, I was thinking, well, you know, I was wondering if maybe I could, meet a girl. I've been thinking about that a little, just these last 15 years or so.
Oh, Adam, it would be wonderful if you could meet a girl, one who's not a mutant. And hopefully comes from Pasadena. Nothing against Valley girls, but in my day, anyhow. Girls from Pasadena, I don't know, just always seem a little bit nicer. Oh, and son, there's also something called a liquor store. Right at that.
Liquor store.
Later, wearing the green jacket his mother made, Adam picks up the stock certificates his father gave him and puts them in a small suitcase. He picks up a photo of his parents and puts it on top of the baseball cards in the cigar box. Above, the soda jerk is lighting candles. He jumps when the doors in the floor open. Adam rises up from below. The soda jerk holds up his hands.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Are you the one who came last night, all in yellow? All in yellow? Oh, that was my father.
Oh, of course. The father. Forgive me. Can you forgive me for my wasted life? Everything has been so awful.
I know. It has been terrible. But it's not your fault. And now that all the decay is over with, things are going to get better. You understand?
Yes.
Adam smiles.
Well, I have to go now.
Of course you do. I'll stay here and pray.
See, now that's always a good idea. How do I leave this place?
The front door is open. Will you be back?
I promise.
Adam gives him a cheery grin. Adam walks toward the door carrying his suitcase. He opens the door, and stepping out, he shields his eyes from the bright daylight. Cars are whizzing by. He smiles and looks up at the blue sky. A man approaches.
What? What is it?
The sky.
Sky? Where?
Up there.
I don't see anything.
Just look!
What is it?
He says he sees something.
Adam runs into a parking meter, then walks on down the sidewalk, still looking up.
What is it?
The sky!
Mommy.
I have never in my life seen anything like it before.
He bends down to the little girl.
Or like you.
She smiles and he continues down the street. He stops and stares at a mail carrier.
What are you looking at?
Oh, my lucky stars. A Negro.
Say what?
How do you do, ma'am?
I do all right.
He shakes her hand vigorously.
Good.
Okay.
Later, he rides a bus.
Wow. So this is public transportation. My father says it becomes more and more important because of pollution, which is more and more carbon dioxide and other hazardous gases in the air.
Other passengers stare. He turns to his seatmate.
You have a gun, by the way.
The man nods.
Oh. Well, thank you for not waving it around, and for not vomiting, for that matter. Say, do you know where I can find a grocery store?
The man shrugs.
I have to find that. That and a hardware store, and a liquor store, and a standing Holiday Inn.
That's a grocery store up the street.
Where?
Up there.
Oh, thank you. Driver, please stop the bus immediately. I wish to get off. Please stop the bus, sir.
Stop the bus.
The driver brakes, and Adam falls face first in the aisle. At the grocery store, Adam watches checkers scan food, then goes to the meat counter.
I need a price check on registered. Diet Dr. Pepper 6-pack.
Help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to get some all beef patties.
Fresh or frozen?
Come on. Frozen. How much are they?
Frozen, they're $6.30 a dozen in the 3-pound box.
12 into 900 is 75. That's almost $500 just for the hamburger. And my mother only gave me $3,000 for everything. The yacht batteries, the pipe tobacco, the diesel oil, the bleach, the floss, birthday candles.
You could get a meat order that big delivered to your home.
Really?
Sure.
Oh, well, that's terrific. Except it just occurred to me that I don't know where home is.
The butcher stares at him.
I'm lost. Do you know where I live?
No.
Will you please excuse me?
Gladly.
Thank you.
He runs away, and the butcher stares after him. Later, Adam is on a bus with his suitcase in his lap. he gazes out the window. The bus passes a hotel. As it gets dark, Adam leans his elbow on his suitcase.
Driver, please stop the bus!
The other three passengers look at him as he gets off the bus and crosses the street.
Telling all our children how to do it right.
He sees a store with a sign that reads, Adult Books, Magazines, Novelties, Accessories. Nearby, a sign reads, Baseball Cards. He goes into the baseball card store where a man with a gray ponytail is behind the counter.
Hello.
Hi.
The name's Adam Weber, and I see that you buy baseball cards. Although these are a lot older than the ones in the window, I was hoping that you still might be interested.
How much you want for this Mickey Mantle rookie season?
Well, I was hoping to sell all of the cards.
Really? Mm-hmm. No kidding.
All I have are $100 bills, and I need something smaller, you know, ones, tens, fives, like that.
I see what you mean. I tell you what, how about I'll give you $500 in small bills for the whole box?
A girl frowns.
That would be wonderful.
Ah, crap.
Adam looks at her.
I'm working here, Evie Pooh. Don't screw me up.
Yeah, I can see you're working all right.
Adam stares at her.
Bonsoir, mademoiselle.
Oh, you're French?
No. I'm from out of town. I'm here on business.
Well, your business must not be sports memorabilia, because this one mantle card right here, worth $6,000 all by its itty-bitty self.
Get out of here.
No, you get out of here.
Terrific. You're fired, you know that, huh?
I quit.
Oh, no. I'll fire you. Just like the hair salon guy and just like the Chevy dealer. You know why you can't keep a goddamn job? Because you can't keep your goddamn mouth shut, that's why.
Excuse me, sir, but I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't take the Lord's name in vain again.
You got a problem with that, partner?
Yes, I have a big problem with that.
Come on, Heathcliff. I'll walk you out.
Yes, ma'am. My name's Adam.
Huh, Adam and Eve, the perfect match. I hope the two of you will be very happy together. And don't come back either.
Bye, Jerry. Love you, Joel.
Where are we going?
We? I'm going home. And judging by that coat, I'd say you have to get back to the barber college.
No, I'm lost.
Ugh, you're lost.
Uh-huh. Say, did you just lose your job back there because of me?
Forget about it. I'm sick working for that pinhead.
Pinhead?
Yes, a walking pin capable of intelligent speech. A pinhead.
He collapses against a wall.
What is wrong with you?
I just had this mental picture.
Here, help me pick these up.
Thank you.
They pick up the baseball cards.
Where are you parked?
I came on a bus.
Why does that not surprise me?
I don't know. Why doesn't it surprise you?
Well, I guess because I'm a little psychic. I have this thing.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah. Let me guess something. This is your first visit to La La Land. You're staying somewhere in Hollywood because, like an idiot, you thought that would be an exciting place to stay. Am I right so far?
So far?
Yes, I'm right.
Right?
I knew it. So anyhow, you get on a bus, and before you know it, you're stuck in the San Fernando Valley without a clue, which brings us to here, correct again?
Again?
Where are you staying? The Holiday Inn.
Oh, yes, the Holiday Inn. That's exactly right.
See, I'm psychic. I mean, not completely, but pretty much. Pretty good, huh?
No, it was amazing.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. Anyhow, I'm going to predict a bus for you. You go down here.
Do you own a car?
Oh, no, sweetie. Rule number one in North America, no strangers in the car.
Well, if it'll make you feel any better, I don't have a gun.
Oh. Well, that changes everything. Get away from me!
She runs away.
I'm sorry, I said something wrong, didn't I? Please forgive me.
Get away from me!
Wait, I'll make you a deal. I will give you a Rogers Hornsby if you take me to the hotel.
She pauses near her car.
Rogers Hornsby?
He's yours. I was holding him back.
Rogers Hornsby's worth like $4,000.
So what? I got two of them. And this many Larry Yogi Berras.
So for $4,000, all I have to do is drive you to your hotel.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Yes.
And I don't have to take a physical in your spaceship?
No, ma'am. What?
Later, they merge onto a six-lane freeway.
Hey,
So, Mr. Andretti, your first time on the freeway?
Miss Weber. Adam Weber.
Mind if I change the station? Better traffic reports on AM.
Sure.
Wait!
What? What is it?
Go back. You had him. It's Perry.
Perry?
Perry Como. Go back. You had him. Go back. Go back. Back, back.
Oh. Hey, it's just 75 cents.
When you find that's it. Time,
there. You know that this is
really find a I could die and right now.
Over this?
Yeah. With a happy sound as it goes along the ground. Listen to this part. This is where it really takes off. Wait for it. Then your love.
You are one scary son of a gun.
She cuts across a lane of traffic and exits the freeway. She runs a red light and turns right.
You better slow down.
I can't help it. Perry Como always does this to me. I just get so strange.
She weaves in and out of traffic, cutting people off while Adam snaps his fingers and smiles a goofy grin. And put it down, down, down. She stops in front of a Holiday Inn.
Card, please. End of service.
That was wonderful. I've never felt anything like that before in my life.
Yeah, same here. Don't forget your suitcase.
He leans in the window. She peels away and he watches her go. Soon after, a bellhop shows him his room.
Okay, then. Bathroom's there. TV's there. Remote is on top. Room service menu on the table.
Wow.
Adam looks around the ordinary motel room, then sits on the edge of the bed and bounces. He picks up the phone.
Oh, you dial 9 to get out.
Of what?
The hotel.
I see. Well, thank you. You've been very, very helpful. I managed to get some change downstairs. And my father taught me that in situations such as this, it's customary to give a tip.
Oh, your father's a smart guy.
My father's a genius.
The bellhop takes the two bills.
Okay. All right, well, here's your key, and good night.
Sure. Thank you. Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let bed bugs bite. That's what my mom always says. I'm really beginning to miss, by the way. I'm sorry. It's my first night away from home.
How old are you?
35.
You don't look 35.
How old do I look?
Oh, 25, around there.
I guess living up here makes people look older.
Up here on the 18th floor?
Yes, up here on the 18th floor. Good night!
Adam shuts the door, then walks to the window and pulls back the drapes. The height scares him. He steps back, then falls. Eve walks through the hotel lobby.
What the hell am I doing here? I'd like to know. Somebody tell me that.
On TV, a woman in a bikini puts on suntan oil.
Tropical fruits, flora, nuts, and protective sunscreens. A complete sun care line created by...
Adam turns off the TV and answers the phone.
Yes?
Hi, this is the woman from the baseball card store. Remember me?
Oh, yes. Hi. Hello. I'm Diggity Dog. Thanks for calling me on the telephone.
Soon after, he gets off an elevator and looks around. He sees Eve.
I'm so glad to see you. I thought I'd never see you again.
Yeah, okay. Down, boy. Listen, I can't take this for driving you home. I wish I could, but I can't. So here, take it back. I would have left it at the front desk, but it's very valuable. Now take it.
I can't take that. It's yours.
Take it, damn it.
Okay.
His hand covers his mouth.
Why are you doing that?
Because I haven't brushed yet.
Oh, okay. Well, so long. Enjoy your visit.
Wait. Eve, please wait.
Please, do not follow me. Don't do it. Oh, I knew this would happen. You're like a lost puppy.
Can't you just talk to me for one second? Just one little second, please.
Okay. Damn.
taken the money and run. That's what Troy told me to do, but did I listen? No. Will you put your hand down?
Who's Troy?
Is he
your husband or a boyfriend?
No.
Thank you!
Good, stop that. Don't do that. Listen, I know you like me. Okay, I can tell, but you know what? A lot of guys like me. Not me exactly. It's more like my legs or my butt or my hair or some combination of the above.
I think it's the eyes.
The eyes. Great, an eye man. Anyhow, it never works out. Okay, not that you even need to know that. You look like crap. What have you been doing?
I'm watching television. In color.
She wrinkles her forehead.
In color? No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Cross my heart. Hope to die.
Yeah. See ya.
She walks away.
Why doesn't it never work out?
What?
Why doesn't it ever work out, you and men?
Why? Who the hell knows? Okay, if you promise to leave me alone, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It never works out because I am into legs and hair and butts myself. That's why. So I wind up with guys who are very good looking, but even more shallow than I am, if you can picture that. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go find another low-paying, demeaning job where some guy named Jerry keeps telling me how lousy his marriage is.
Why not go to work for me?
Doing what?
Why, helping me sell all my baseball cards and buying enough food and supplies to fill several large trucks.
Food and supplies? Who for? Like starving people?
Oh, well, they're not starving yet, but they do need help.
Well, how long would you need me for?
2 weeks.
What's the pay?
What's fair?
Well, I gotta make at least $1,000 a week.
He puffs out his lips, then looks at her and grins.
You got it! Wait here while I get changed.
Sure.
She smiles.
I will buy you a garden.
Sure.
Later, at a marina, men load boxes into a U-Haul. Eve stands nearby with a man.
There you go.
Why would someone need 26 yacht bags?
I don't know. I just worked for the guy.
Who does he work for? The CIA?
Later.
Pipe tobacco. I'm going to need all of this.
A forklift drives by with toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
Other shoppers watch them load the U-Haul.
Is it a sale?
Adam rushes to open the truck door for Eve, and she gives him a strange look as she gets in. She drives while he sits next to her, bobbing his head and snapping his fingers. She stops the truck.
Well, another day, another dollar.
She turns off the radio, and he stops bouncing and smiles at her.
You stop staring at me.
All right.
I'll pick you up at 8 in the morning.
He gets out.
You know, Eve, I was thinking...
Night!
She drives away.
Night!
The next morning, Adam sits on the edge of his bed and watches the sun come up between some buildings. His face is bathed in a gradually increasing glow. Later, the U-Haul drives onto the freeway.
There's something else I'd like you to help me with.
Name it.
I'm afraid this is going to sound a little bit crazy.
I'm sure it will.
It is if it does.
No, I'm sorry.
She pats him.
What is it?
Eve, I want you to help me find a wife.
What kind of wife are you looking for?
Hmm? Well, I'm not a mutant.
No dogs, huh? Okay, cool.
And if it's possible, I'd like to marry someone from Pasadena.
When do you need her by?
2 weeks.
Well, I can probably get you laid in 2 weeks, but to locate a non-mutant wife from Pasadena takes some time.
That's what I was afraid of.
Later, in a booth at a diner.
What do you mean you can get me laid?
Two men at the counter turn around.
Can we talk about that a little later?
Of course.
He takes her hand.
Lord, bless this food we are about to receive and make us ever mindful of the needs of others. And bless my mom, and bless my dad, and bless my new friend Eve. Amen.
Amen.
Eve's car swerves down a residential street and goes over the curb. Adam's driving.
Get out.
The engine is still running.
Now, get out.
Yes, ma'am.
Stop the man car.
I'm sorry.
They get out.
You almost got us killed.
I told you I've never driven before.
We'll never drive again.
You said it would be easy.
Well, I was wrong.
A man comes out of a house.
Hey, is this your house?
Yes.
I like it.
What are you bitching about now?
He's holding a box.
What are you doing here?
I forgot some of my stuff.
Your stuff?
Yeah.
Let me see that.
She looks in the box.
Oh, you came back for your underwear.
Excuse me, these are Ralph Lauren's.
How'd you get in?
He holds up a key and she grabs it.
Thanks.
And who's this interesting looking fellow?
This is Adam. Adam, this is Cliff.
How do you do?
I do fine, Adam. How about yourself? You, doing any good lately?
Go home, Cliff, wherever that might be.
Shayna Gilroy's apartment. You remember her? She's the model who went to Harvard. Well, I better be going. Bye, Adam. Nice coat.
Thank you, Cliff. It was very nice to meet you.
That's a nice parking job, too.
May I ask you a question?
He's a former boyfriend. We lived together for about 6 months. And yes, I still have sort of a thing for him. That's what you wanted to know, isn't it?
No, I was going to ask you why Cliff likes to wear another man's underpants.
What?
They go inside as the sun sets. Later, Adam puts his head near some speakers. Eve is in the kitchen with a man preparing sushi.
This guy is unbelievable.
I knew you'd like him.
I know, it's like he's from X-Files or something. I mean, think about it, he's got all these easily negotiable properties, right? And he's obviously setting up something big. I don't know what, maybe a self-sustaining island off the coast of South America. Or maybe he's the leader of some cult that's into practices involving poultry and pipe tobacco.
He enters the living room where Adam is staring at the ceiling.
You have very nice ceilings.
Do I? Mm-hmm. Well, you like ceilings?
Not particularly.
Ah, well, I hope you like this. It's fresh sea urchin wrapped in seaweed or nori, if you prefer. I love sushi.
I love Lucy.
Who doesn't? She's hilarious.
Here you go. One champagne cocktail.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I thought only hookers drank those things.
Well, I know Mom sure likes them.
They stare at him as he lifts his glass and takes a drink.
Well, dinner's in 15. Why don't we sit down and chat?
So, Troy, what do you do for a living?
Oh, I design websites. And Adam, where on earth are you from?
Out of town, that's all he'll say.
It's a very small place. People don't even know it's there.
And it's called?
Maybe Eve can guess. She's psychic.
Is she? Since when?
Since I got rear-ended in Palm Springs.
Well then, Miss Dionne Warwick, why don't you tell us what town he's from?
All right. Give me your hand.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. I'm not promising anything. Are you okay?
She strokes his palm.
I see snow. Lots of snow. Way up north. Are we getting hot?
Yes.
You live in Alaska, and the only way in and out of your place is by plane. And you definitely came here for food and supplies and to find a wife.
Wow.
That was right.
Got goosebumps all over me.
I'm clairvoyant, butthead.
Well, why wouldn't you just go to Nome to get supplies and a wife? Isn't that a lot closer?
Yeah, right. That's where you'd go to find girls. Nome. He's gay, by the way.
Well, good for you.
Well, we try. Can I ask you some questions?
Adam crosses his legs.
When did Alaska become a state?
1959.
Okay, and who owned it before we did?
Russia.
And when did we get it from them?
1867, Seward's Folly. We purchased it for $7.2 million. Tidy sum then as well as now. I'm quoting my father, of course.
All right, what's the state capital?
Juneau.
Hello, it's Anchorage. Gotcha.
Mm-mm. Sorry, that's the largest city.
Troy looks at them, then leaves the room.
Where's he going?
He's going to check your answers on his computer.
Adam's eyes widen.
He has a computer?
Sure.
In the house?
No, actually, it's in the backyard. Of course it's in the house. It's in there.
May I be excused, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
He jumps over the arm of the couch and runs to another room. She wrinkles her forehead and takes a drink. At Adam's home, Helen, holding a martini glass, opens the bedroom door slightly and looks at Calvin, who's asleep. She sips her drink and backs out of the room. Her glass gets caught between the door and the wall. She gets on the elevator and flips the switch. The elevator rises. The soda jerk above turns on a string of lights shaped like faces. He hears the elevator and turns around with a tambourine on his arm. Helen rises up, still holding the martini glass. She drops the glass.
Who are you?
I'm the mother.
It's the mother!
People stand up holding candles. She puts her hand on the control and lowers herself back down, giving the people a bewildered look. Troy and Adam enter Eve's house.
Hey.
Hey.
Adam's wearing a brown leather jacket.
So, what do you think?
He's dressed like Troy.
It works.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I should show you the entire trousseau, you know, shirt, sweater, socks, the whole thing.
No, first let's show her these.
He holds up some inline skates.
Huh? Eve, can I skate around your block?
How about it, Eve? Can you skate around your block?
No.
Just a few laps.
It won't take long.
Mm-hmm. No.
Later, on a wide sidewalk lined with palm trees, people are skating and biking. Graffiti covers a concrete area with round picnic tables. Adam is skating between the tables. Eve and Troy are sitting on a table watching. Adam stops and leans on a wall overlooking a sandy beach with a sidewalk. Two women in two-piece swimsuits skate by and wave. He nods, waves back, and follows them with his eyes. His eyes widen and his mouth drops open. He sees the ocean. Swinging his legs over the wall, he takes off the skates and throws them in the sand. He takes off his elbow pads and wrist protectors as he walks toward the water. He throws his knee pads in the air and spreads his arms wide. Eve and Troy watch as he walks into the ocean in his clothes. Eve smiles as he splashes the water and dives in like a fish. He surfaces with his arms in the air. Eve looks at Troy, who's staring at Adam. Adam falls on his back in the water. Later at Eve's, he dances with Troy.
YMCA, it's fun to stay at the YMCA.
They do the bump.
They have ever.
Eve raises her eyebrows as Adam does a fluid robot dance, then an exaggerated hip thrust. She smiles. Later, Adam and Eve take supplies to a storage building, and Troy takes Adam to a softball game.
All right, girl, hit that ball.
A male batter hits the ball and runs the bases. Men dressed as cheerleaders wave pom-poms as the catcher catches the ball and throws it.
To understand it. Because he must.
Later, Eve looks out her window and frowns. She gets an umbrella and goes outside where Adam is sitting in the rain.
Haven't you ever heard the saying, he hasn't got enough sense to come in out of the rain?
Yep. You know, my father
who is a scientist, says that everything is a miracle.
Yeah?
Everything. Until recently, I wasn't sure what he meant by that.
No kidding. Listen, you still want to go girl hunting tonight?
Oh, yes, I certainly do.
Okay. But, I mean, you know, this whole business of finding your wife is pretty ridiculous, don't you think?
No, it isn't.
Well, yes, it is.
He stands and faces her.
A girlfriend, maybe, but a wife, it's...
Well, then help me find a girlfriend. That's all I ask. I'll tell you what, I'll give you every single card I've got.
Screw you! You think I'm just somebody you can buy off?
Oh, no, Eve, I didn't mean that at all. Eve, you're my best friend. Would you do it because you're my very best friend?
He puts his hands on her shoulders.
Yeah, okay.
He hugs her, and she grimaces.
Thank you, Eve.
She lays her head on his shoulder. At night, cars are dropping people off in front of Club 40s.
Well, why do we park way back there?
Miss Restacop does not allow total strangers to drive her car.
Inside, a DJ is dressed like Humphrey Bogart.
All the clubs, you know all the towns, you know all the world. You walk into mine. So welcome to Club 40, where the party never stops.
Oh, Jason, Jonathan, this is Adam, Adam SM.
Hi, how do you do? Very nice to meet you, Jason, and Jonathan. My mother always said that when you meet someone for the first time, it's always easier to remember their names if you use those names right away, Jason and Jonathan.
Troy peeks over his shoulder.
He's from Alaska.
Oh.
A woman approaches.
Hi there, Eve. Who's the hunk?
Get lost, Sophie.
Hi, I'm Sophie.
Hi, how do you do? I'm Adam Weber.
Adam lives in Alaska.
No crap.
Vous parlez français?
Oui.
Moi, je parle un peu français.
Oh, you speak beautiful French. J'ai habité à Paris un an.
À Paris, c'est la ville des lumières, n'est-ce pas?
Oui.
C'est aussi la pays d'amour.
Bien sûr.
c'est bien que je vous rencontre parce que je n'ai pas eu la chance à pratiquer le français.
Si tu veux, nous pouvons pratiquer beaucoup de choses ensemble.
Oui.
Adam.
Peut-être.
Adam.
Oh, alors, au revoir. Hey. Je m'appelle Adam Weber.
Au revoir. Quit showing off. We're your own business.
I thought we were here to meet women.
Not that.
I like her.
Sophie, when you fly to Paris...
He looks at her chest.
Do you check these or are they carry-on?
They're carry-on.
Troy goes to Adam and Eve's table.
What a place to play where the people all swing around.
What are you drinking?
Oh, this is a Rob Roy. It's a very popular drink, I'm told.
He spots another woman.
How about her?
No way.
No way? Why not? I think she's very attractive.
Adam, she's got bitch written all over her. You do know what bitch means, don't you?
Well, yes, I do. I do have a dictionary, but I can't understand for the life of me why you would say that about her. Or why Click would say that about you.
Troy chokes.
Okay, Adam, I think for you we should aim for sweet.
Okay, I like that.
Yes, yeah, sweet. That's a lovely way of putting it. There's some sweet over there by the hors d'oeuvre table. Look.
Oh, yeah, could be. Yeah, go on, Romeo. Say hello. Looks like a non-mutant to me.
Okay, all right. What do I say to her?
Oh, say something surprising. Something funny. Lie if need be.
Lie.
Oh, yeah. Lying can be a very effective dating tool.
He nods.
Okay. All right. Don't drag over.
He leaves the table.
I don't think I want to watch this.
Surprising and funny. Oh, I know a duck about some lip balm. Lie.
He approaches Miss Sweet.
Hi.
She looks him over.
Yes?
I was wondering if you could help me? I seem to have lost my Congressional Medal of Honor around here somewhere.
Now that's a great one.
Eve and Troy watch as another woman approaches.
This is my new friend.
Hi. Adam Weber.
Hi. I'm Heather.
Heather?
Yes.
I don't believe I've ever heard that name before.
Eve frowns and Troy cocks his head.
Yeah, do you dance?
Do I dance? Why, I took a dance lesson every day of my life up until a couple of days ago.
You're kidding.
No, I did. Shall we dance?
Sure.
Yeah.
Eve puts her hand on her chest as Adam leads Miss Sweet to the dance floor.
Wait for me.
Heather tags along. Eve and Troy look at each other. Adam backs onto the dance floor, pulling Miss Sweet, who's swinging her hips and waving her hand. He twirls her around, then holds her close as they swing dance. He spins her again. Then spins Heather. He dips Miss Sweet. Heather pulls him away, and they kick their legs out as the dance floor clears and everyone watches. He flips her over his arm. Troy smiles, and Eve frowns. Heather pushes Adam back, and she and Miss Sweet dance toward him, swinging their arms. He and Miss Sweet flap their arms up and down. She wraps her arms around his neck, and he swings her around his waist. They continue their fancy 40s dance steps. And he leapfrogs over Miss Sweet, then dances around, waving his finger in the air with a goofy grin on his face, while Eve pouts. He waves to her, and she forces a smile. He picks up Heather and swings her to each side. Then she straddles him before he lifts her over his head. She kicks her heels in the air. Troy bobs his head to the music, and Eve glares at him. Adam dances a few steps with each girl. Ben stands between them and spins around. He takes each girl's hand and twirls them close to him for the big finish. He gives Eve a thumbs up and a wave. She gets up as he kisses Heather's hand. Eve whistles at him. She beckons with both hands.
Is that your girlfriend?
No. Will you please excuse me?
Eve pushes Troy.
You go to the bathroom.
What, right here? Well, I thought I should check. I mean, you're being so bossy.
Go.
Thank you both very much for the dance.
Thank you.
Miss Sweet and Heather swoon. Troy passes Adam.
I have to go to the bathroom. Oh.
Adam sits with Eve.
You wanted to see me?
You're not from Alaska. Where the hell did you learn to dance like that? There are no starving people, are there?
Why are you so angry with me?
What, you think I'm some kind of sap, do you?
No, I don't. I admire you. I fell in love with you the very moment that I saw you. Eve, I think you're the most...
I want you to stop lying to me.
All right. I'll tell you everything. In 1962.
Well.
Cliff approaches.
Don't we clean up nice?
Adam stands.
Well, hello, Cliff. How are you this evening?
Not bad. Though I do miss that green sport coat of yours.
Oh, why, thank you, Cliff. But that's my seat, and I was just about to
have a drink up at the bar.
Eve looks at Adam, then back at Cliff.
Sure.
She gets up.
It's all yours.
Adam gives Cliff a brief smile and plops down in Eve's place. He frowns and looks toward the bar where Heather and Miss Sweet are talking to another man. Miss Sweet looks at Adam. He nods and smiles. A woman walks past Troy and checks him out. He wrinkles his forehead, then sees Eve and Cliff drinking at the bar. Looking toward their table, he sees a waiter clearing it. Adam approaches Cliff and Eve.
Please excuse this interruption.
Oh, brother.
Eve, I don't mean to be rude, and Cliff, please excuse me. But Eve, isn't Cliff just a butt with hair?
What?
I'm sorry. And legs. Legs, butt, and hair. And shallow as well?
Shallow?
Adam, why don't you go home? Go back to the hotel.
Yeah, before I kick your ass.
Cliff pushes Adam.
I must warn you, Cliff, I do know how to defend myself.
Well, do you?
He raises his fist and Adam punches him.
Stop it, you two!
Nice move. Really?
Yeah, he's right. Maybe we shouldn't fight in here.
I agree.
Cliff swings and Adam punches.
Adam!
I'm sorry! He was gonna...
Adam raises his fists.
Maybe we shouldn't fight at all. I mean, fighting's pretty immature when you think about it.
It certainly is.
Eve, I'm leaving. Eve.
Probably a good idea.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
Adam has to punch again.
Well, good night, everyone.
Cliff walks away with his hand over his nose.
Eve.
I'm leaving, too. Okay? You know what? If you want help, you can ask Troy, because I quit. This is ridiculous. You're ridiculous, and I'm ridiculous.
She walks away as Troy pats Adam on the back.
I'll buy you another Rob Roy, huh, Chance?
Rob Roy for Jim.
As Troy comes up the front walk, Eve opens the door.
Well, you go back to the hotel?
You might have.
What does that mean?
That means that we did not leave together.
Well, who did he leave with?
What's that to you?
I'm his pimp. He left those dancers, didn't he?
You're the psychic. Eve, the psychic pimp. You tell me.
Those sluts.
Yeah. Then again, who isn't a slut these days, huh?
Where are you going?
To bed.
To bed?
Sure, to bed. I'm not the one that's in love with the guy.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on. Hold on just a minute. In the first place, I do not fall in love with weirdos who I've only known for 4 or 5 days.
Yes, you do.
And I don't fall in love with grown men who collect baseball cards.
Yes, you do.
Or pee in their pants when they see the ocean.
Yes, you do.
Or perfect table manners.
You know, I asked him about that. He said good manners are just a way of showing other people that we have respect for them. See, I didn't know that. I thought it was just a way of acting all superior. Oh, and you know what else he told me?
What?
He thinks I'm a gentleman and you're a lady.
She stares at him.
Well, consider the source.
Hmm?
I don't even know what a lady is.
I know. I mean, I thought a gentleman was somebody that owned horses. But it turns out the short and simple definition of a lady or a gentleman is someone who always tries to make sure that the people around him or her are as comfortable as possible.
Where do you think he got all that information?
Off from the oddest place. His parents. I mean, I don't think I got that memo from mine.
Well, no, I suppose he's trying to make those dancers feel as comfortable as possible.
No. He didn't go home with them.
Eve smiles, then catches herself.
Well, went home with Sophie.
Ah! No!
Yep.
No!
She swept him out of the room, whispering little French sweet nothings into his ear.
No, not Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
Not Sophie. Don't tell me that.
So what you gonna do? Go down to her place and kick the door in?
You're damn right I am.
She runs out of the house and down the sidewalk. Then gets in her car. Adam knocks on her window. She falls out of the car. She glares at him. Later, inside.
Scare me, what, don't you, you stupid son of a bitch!
I'm really sorry.
What are you doing here? You're supposed to be on San Vicente Boulevard having unsafe sex with that slut Sophie.
I know, and I'm really sorry.
I'm limping. How attractive is that? What if this is for life?
Adam.
I was just going to say...
I know.
And then she...
I know.
And I didn't mean to scare
her. Of course you didn't.
Nothing I do with her ever seems to be right.
Just be right up here with the coffee. Why don't people ever put that in?
That's because you're a nice boy. But what Eve needs is a nice man. Understand, champ? Good night.
Night, Troy.
Eve limps in.
You still here?
Let me help you.
No, I can do it myself.
I know more about first aid than you know about baseball cards. Now give me this stuff and sit down.
Troy goes upstairs.
Sit.
She sits on the couch and he sits on the coffee table.
Give me any. Pants are ruined, right?
I'd say so.
There.
He widens the hole in her pants, revealing her scraped knee. He puts peroxide on a cotton ball.
Ready?
Ouch!
There. Don't be such a baby.
Oh, I'm the baby?
He gives her a look, then blows gently on her knee.
Did you go to Sophie's?
He looks up.
Of course.
And?
She was hospitable.
Hospitable? Huh.
Grinning, he carefully sticks a bandage on her knee.
But this wasn't where I wanted to be. So, I left as politely as I could, and I found a taxi, and I told the driver to bring me here instead of back to the hotel.
She stares at him.
There's a song that Mr. Como sings called On the Street Where You Live. It's a song about a young man who's overjoyed just to be standing in front of the house of the person that he loves.
They move closer and she kisses him. They close their eyes as their lips lock together. She pulls back.
Adam, you know...
He kisses her.
Adam, I know this is stupid. But humor me.
They rub their lips together.
Have you ever had sex before?
No.
Her eyes open.
How is that possible?
You better sit back down.
She scoots back onto the couch.
In 1962, when the bomb was dropped on Los Angeles, my parents were in our fallout shelter. That's where I was born.
She shifts her eyes.
We only survived because it's a huge shelter, as far as fallout shelters go. My father worked on it secretly for years. When he had to, he used contractors, but always from out of state and always for only a portion of the job. He told them that it was a secret government experiment done through Caltech. Now, my dad's not a liar, but in this case, he felt he had no choice. Of course, it had to be kept a secret. We only had enough supplies to last 3 people for 35 years. The really tricky part was the air vent system, but we were finally able to cut into the flood control sewer.
She looks at him sadly.
Eve, what I would like to do is to take you with me down into the fallout shelter. We could live there with my mom and dad. My dad said that if I found a healthy young girl, that I should bring her on down. Why, Eve, you look plenty healthy to me.
She gulps.
Adam.
Yes, Eve?
I think it's time to call Cam.
Oh, of course. You're absolutely right. I really shouldn't be over here at this late hour.
He gets up. He walks out the door stiffly.
Good night, Adam.
He waves, then hops down the steps and looks up at the sky. Inside, Eve sobs on the stairs. Adam's driving a box van, and Troy is lurching back and forth inside.
God, Adam.
Wait a minute.
Adam pulls over.
Oh, look, I'm sorry. I know I took the Lurch name in vain again.
No, there's an adult bookstore back there. I'll be right back.
He gets out and Troy watches him. Adam stands in front of the bookstore and looks around. In the bar next door, the soda jerk is yelling.
Give us a sign! Amen. Yes, amen. It's all here!
Amen.
Just give us some sort of sign!
Amen.
Just show us that we're not alone!
Yes. The door opens and Adam enters. He waves and backs out. The soda jerk falls forward. Eve is in her house, rubbing her sweater nervously when Adam and Troy return in the truck. A man and woman are with her.
Hi, Eve.
Hi, Adam. This is,
Hi, Adam. I'm Nina Aaron.
Hello. How do you do?
Very well, thank you. I'm with the County Family Services Department. Eve tells me you've been living in a bomb shelter most of your life.
He looks at Eve.
Fallout shelter. There is a difference.
Adam, I'd like to introduce you to my associate, Mr. Brown.
The man nods.
Hello?
Troy sits down.
We want you to come with us so we can talk some more about your experiences.
Come where?
My office.
For how long?
Well, that depends.
Well, I thank you very much for the invitation, but I'm very busy today. Perhaps I could see you tomorrow?
Adam, I think you should go with Dr. Aaron. I think it's the best thing. I think it's the best thing for you. I do.
Adam looks at Dr. Aaron and Mr. Brown, then back at Eve.
All right, Eve, if you say so.
I do.
Could I please just go home? I was lost, but I found home this morning, and if I can just go home, I promise I'll never bother any of you ever again.
Adam, let's go talk first.
Eve looks down, frowning.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Brown takes his arm.
Bye, Adam.
Bye, Troy.
Adam looks longingly at Eve, who stares back at him.
You'll be hearing from me.
Oh, yes.
They leave, and Troy looks at Eve.
What? What was I supposed to do? He told me he wanted to take me underground. That's like Silence of the Lambs. It's crazy.
You did the right thing.
She goes to the window and watches them leave. Suddenly, Adam runs away.
Oh, no.
They go outside as Dr. Aaron dials a cell phone.
All right, don't worry. He'll catch him. Yes, this is Nina Aaron. I've got a runaway, and I'm going to need police assistance.
No, you cannot call them.
I have to. If a complaint is made and the person resists...
No, I cannot have that. They'll come with their cars and their guns.
All right, calm down. Now, that young man needs help, and you need protection from him.
I was frightened. I didn't know what to think, but, you know, I believe him. I think he just... I do. I really think he just wants to go home, wherever that might be.
All right. Everybody has to calm down. That's the most important thing.
Here's my hotel room. You can have all my baseball cards, and don't forget to pay my bill.
Young man, you stop right there.
Adam.
Stop. Don't get in that truck. Adam. Don't make him stop.
Gotta stop trying to drive this truck.
Watch me.
Bye, Adam.
Thanks for always being happy.
What?
Okay. He backs into a car. Later.
Mom! Dad! I'm home!
Helen turns off her exercise belt.
Adam!
I've got almost everything we need. And this nice man,
Archbishop Melker, we've met previously.
And his church group have volunteered to help bring it down. But we've got to hurry.
Are you in trouble, son?
I think I'm being chased by a psychiatrist.
A psychiatrist?
It happens.
Oh my goodness, how bad is it up there?
Horrible.
Melker, the soda jerk, has a tattoo on his forehead.
Something on your forehead.
Calvin.
I know.
Troy and Eve walk into Adam's hotel room. Eve leans against the wall and looks around. She opens a drawer and finds his socks and underwear neatly arranged. She touches a t-shirt and smiles.
Is this it?
Troy's holding the cigar box.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
Get it back to him.
And what if we can't find him?
We'll find him.
Troy takes the stock certificates out of Adam's suitcase as Eve enters the bathroom. She touches his comb, brush, and razor. Then picks up his toothpaste tube and cradles it in her hand.
Hey, Eve.
She stares into space.
Eve, look what I found in the suitcase. It's stock certificates. I mean, it's got like IBM and AT&T and Polaroid and Ipana. I remember this brand. I didn't know they still made this.
She sits on the bed frowning while he studies the tube.
Oh. Look at this. It says trademark, 1961.
She looks at it. Melker's followers and Adam are unloading the truck.
Hurry, my friends, we have no time to waste. The sun has spoken. Let's step it up.
Leave my elevator alone. Leave my elevator alone.
We're losing the line.
Troy's on the phone.
Purchased in 1958 and 59. 10,000 shares of each.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be worth millions. Hell, I don't know. Millions upon millions.
Upon millions. The stocks, the baseball cards, the clothes, the toothpaste. The guy's on the level. Eve.
He grabs her shoulders.
Eve, a man walks into your life who is the kindest, most polite, most incredibly rich guy you've ever met.
And I have him committed.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
He rubs her shoulder.
Well, at least I fell for him before I found he was rich. That's new.
Yeah.
He said today he knew where home was. Mm-hmm. Where'd you guys go this morning?
Just to pick up frozen poultry.
Then?
Then back to the house.
You didn't stop anywhere?
We did. We stopped at a porn shop. Yeah, we stopped at this adult bookstore. Adam was very excited to see it.
Adam was very excited to see porn.
Yes. Eve, do you think maybe his home... it's underneath a dirty bookstore in the valley.
Later, Eve and Troy get out of her car at the adult bookstore. It's nighttime.
This is it?
Yeah, this is the place.
They go in.
Nice kid.
Melker drives the truck away as Eve and Troy enter an alley.
What are we looking for? This is ridiculous. Why would they put a fallout shelter under a porn shop?
Well, none of this was here back in 62. I mean, back then this was all like, you know, cute little homes and... you know, and fruit orchards.
Oh, we've come a long way, haven't we?
Uh-huh.
I want to go home.
Yeah, maybe he'll call, huh?
Eve? This is Adam. Look, I just wanted to thank you for everything you did for me. And I wanted to tell you that I wish so many good things for you. I wish so hard that all of your dreams come true. And that's all.
Eve gets in the passenger side of her car, and Troy drives. She holds the cigar box to her chest and gazes out the window. Eyes widen and she leans forward. In slow motion, Adam is walking down the sidewalk.
Adam?
He turns around. She gets out of the car and runs to him, dropping the cigar box. Smiling, she jumps into his arms. They kiss and spin around slowly. Down below, Calvin is setting the locks.
How long are you going to set it for this time?
I thought 10 years.
Well, it's considerably shorter than before, but... I was wondering, Calvin, I mean, why set the locks at all? I mean, the radiation's gone.
To keep what's up there from getting down here. It's not radiation I'm worried about.
Oh.
Mom! Dad!
Adam and Eve are standing in the Weber's fake backyard.
Oh.
Helen waves as she and Calvin hurry toward them.
I would like for you to meet Miss Eve Rustikoff.
Mrs. Weber.
Hello.
Mr. Weber.
Hello.
Adam's told me such wonderful things about you.
Oh, well, excuse us, please. We haven't entertained a guest
in quite some time.
Eve, what can I offer you?
Mom, Eve and I have to go.
Oh, Adam, you just got here.
I can't explain right now, but I want you to set the locks for 2 months. You've got more than enough of everything, and then we'll be right back to get you.
But I don't understand.
And I'm asking you to trust me without understanding why.
In that case, of course.
Oh, of course, son. They really are wonderful parents. Oh, Adam, could you at least stay for dinner?
Well,
you must. Oh.
Calvin drinks from a cocktail shaker.
Perfect. Tell me if you heard this one. Doc walks into a drugstore.
This gravy is an old favorite of Calvin's mother. Eat the platter down here. Did you get that, honey?
The sperm swims toward the egg. Into the egg.
But why?
Because it must.
But why?
Because it's out there.
I don't mean to be nosy, but are you and Adam dating? Yeah, we are. And I'm from Pasadena.
Helen hugs her.
And you thought your parents were weird. It's truly amazing what you can get done when you have unlimited funds. Do you know you can have whole houses built in just a matter of months?
It's like the Garden of Eden, don't you think?
All you have to say is this: I don't care what it costs. And then, of course, you've got to really mean it, which no one ever does.
Downstairs.
It took a while to convince Archbishop Melker that Adam wasn't God, and he was pretty broken up about it, too. Until I showed him my plans for Los Angeles's hottest and most original night spot.
It's my damn malt shop, and let you figure out what's going to happen here.
Okay.
Now, I want the whole ownership of everything downstairs, right?
Well,
I want one of my guys at the door.
Adam and Eve are riding in a red Cadillac convertible from the 60s.
Our idea was to bring Adam's parents up to the surface very slowly, make them very comfortable, and then break the bad news to them that there was no nuclear holocaust.
They get out of the car in a beautiful countryside. Adam opens the back of a van that Troy was driving and helps Helen get out. Calvin is behind her. A replica of their original home is before her. They go inside and look around. Adam gives Calvin the keys and pats him on the shoulder.
Oh, son.
Troy takes a mug out of a microwave oven.
Okay. And here you go. Careful.
He gives it to Helen, who takes a sip while Calvin inspects the microwave.
Hot. Careful.
Helen and Calvin walk outside.
Have you ever in your life seen a son who did more for his parents? This is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Well, we seem to have everything, but, you know, it's not much different from a fallout shelter.
She points at the lovely countryside.
No, Calvin, this is different. Believe me.
Later... Calvin touches Adam's knee.
By the way...
He glances around.
Eve, her last name, Rostikov. That's not Russian, is it?
No, it's Ukrainian.
Oh.
Her grandparents immigrated. Dad, I don't know how to tell you this, and I was going to wait for a while to do it, but... Dad, there was no bomb. A plane crashed in our backyard. I looked it up in old newspapers.
You sure?
Positive. The Soviet Union collapsed without a shot being fired. Cold War's over.
That's what everyone believes.
Oh, yes, sir. It's true.
Well, the Politburo one day said,
"We give up!"
Yes, that's kind of how it went.
My gosh! These commies are brilliant. You have to hand it to them. No, we didn't drop any bombs.
Oh, yeah. Our evil empire has collapsed for us. I'll bet.
They even asked the West for aid. Right?
I think they did.
Oh, boys. Dinner time.
Helen scurries back inside.
I tell you.
Calvin lightly punches Adam's shoulder.
tell your mother.
No, okay.
Adam says that this is simply how things work. First the parents take care of the children, and then the children take care of the parents. He says historically that's how it works.
Damn commies.
Calvin strides across the yard.
Whenever Adam gives me such obviously incorrect information, I just smile, slap him on the knee, and look out the window. Why spoil his dreams? They're such wonderful dreams.
No one likes us, I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens.